Good morning again. Next week, hard to believe, is the first Sunday of Advent. And we typically do an Advent Christmas series, and we're going to watch a brief video clip introducing the series this year. We've utilized the Skit Guys over the years, and they typically do a really good job of balancing humor and kind of hitting you right between the eyes with a spiritual point. This year, they are leaning, they're still hitting us with the spiritual lessons, but they are definitely all in on the humor aspect. And as I was, over the last few weeks, as I was thinking and praying about the season that we're in, I don't know about you, but in all the stress that everyone is carrying, whether it's COVID or politics or whatever else is going on in the world, I need to laugh. Our hope is that this could be something, whether you're watching here with us on site or whether you're tuning in online, we want to, as we reflect upon the true Christmas message this year, have a little laughter with that. So we're going to watch a brief clip introducing the series.
Hi, my name is Joel, and I'm the director of our church play, The Glory of Christmas.
I'm the least likely person to play Mary, let alone deliver the Son of God. I'm a middle-aged former soccer mom.
My name's Joseph.
Oh?
You play Bunko with my mom.
I play Joseph.
I don't like to mention it, but I am a formerly trained prodigy of the theater arts.
There's a little bit of controversy over my choice to cast Tony as the wise man.
What's that smell?
Is the age difference what's bothering you?
I want you to know, it doesn't bother me.
I think the shepherds deserve a little more poetic language.
It's the Bible, Dan. God may beg to differ with you.
This is the story of a ragtag bunch of church members who set out to perform a Christmas play, and the director who tried his hardest to just keep it all together.
This is no way to treat your actors.
We are telling the most beautiful and important story.
I haven't bathed in a month.
Why can't I stop talking about food?
Anyway, it's definitely encourage you to tune in. We're going to be reflecting on each of the characters as we have in the past during the Advent season, but definitely encourage you to... whether you're inviting folks here or whether you're inviting people to tune in online, we will be sharing something online that you can share and actually use social media to share with others so they can be tuning in as well. Because I don't think we're the only ones that are dealing with that level of stress that we just need to laugh and allow us to really just take the time to focus in during this crazy season to be able to focus in on the true meaning of Christmas. Now, one moment here. Having some technical issues. You know, as we wrap up today, though, the last 2 weeks, we've looked at the fruit of the Spirit, and today is the last message in that series of what it really means to be bearing fruit. And Jim brought the message last week. We started it 2 weeks ago. You know, we introduced this whole series and the idea of focusing in on the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 through 23 with just that question of if we look at the world around us, or if we look in our own lives, how refreshing it would be if the fruit of the Spirit was more visible in the world around us and in our own hearts and our own lives. If we looked at the world, we looked inside and we were to see more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, I think the world would be a different place. And I think our lives would be a different place if we really were intentional to say, are we living these type of characteristics and virtues in our life? We talked about the fact, though, that while this is a list of virtues, it's much more than that. Because there's a clear contrast made in this passage between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The works are something that we do. It's literally from the same Greek word ergon is the same idea that we get ergonomics or something that's work related. It's something we're putting the effort into it. There's a difference between a work of the flesh, something that we're doing that is causing those things that we don't want to see in our lives, and the fruit of the Spirit, which is not something we can produce on our own, but it has to be something that the Spirit of God produces in us. So that the very Spirit of Christ is forming us and that Jesus is seen in us and through us. we introduce this series of going back to verses 16. You got to have to look at the whole passage, starting in verse 16, down into verse 25 and 26. We see that it's all in the context of what it means to be walking in the Spirit. And verse 16 began with a promise, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And then later it goes on saying that if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. That idea of walking in the Spirit or keeping in step with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit is what's being described here as a life that's surrendered and under the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit can do his work in us and so that his Spirit can produce his fruit in us, the love, joy, peace, patience, all of this, God's Spirit wants to produce in us. But for us to do that, the goal is not to work harder. The goal is to be aware of those issues in our life. And when we see things in our life that are on the works of the flesh list, or we're missing the fruit of the Spirit in our life, the goal should not be to try harder, but the goal should be look at our life and ask ourselves, are there areas of our life that we need to surrender so that God can work in that area of our life and fill us? We shared a statement that we'll repeat again today, that if we want to experience the fruit of the Spirit, we must be surrendered and filled by the Spirit of God. If we want to experience the fruit of the Spirit, we must be surrendered and filled by the Spirit of God. Our life is to be lived under the direction and influence of the Holy Spirit. So the goal is not to try harder, but to surrender and let God produce his character, the very character of Christ, in us through his Holy Spirit. Today, as we dive into these final section, I think it's important to start with that reminder, the illustration I gave of when you're driving down the road in your car. Most cars today have more lights and whistles and everything else warning us of things than we even like to have. Sometimes it's refreshing to get an old vehicle that doesn't have all that. But you know, the point of all those lights and warnings, those gauges, are to be warnings that you might need to check under the hood. And I really believe that when we look at the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit, either the presence of the works of the flesh or the absence of the fruit of the Spirit, that is something that can be a gauge in our life to ask, is there a part of my life that I need to get under the hood and let God do a work in me in that area of my life so that he can do his work in us and produce his character in us? Too often, I think we want to just keep driving down the road and ignore the blinking light. Some of you had cars that you couldn't turn the blinking light off and you had to deal with that. But in our life, spiritually, it's dangerous if you ignore that. I remember when I was in college, between college and seminary, I worked at a Lexington Ice Center in Lexington, Kentucky, and I did maintenance for them, and I was 1 week away or 2 weeks away when I left that I would have been trained to drive the Zamboni machine, which I, one of my biggest regrets in life, I didn't stick around long enough to do that, but you know, I remember one day I was given an assignment. I had to go pick up supplies or something across town. And if you know Lexington, there's a big Circle 4 that goes around the city. And I was on the opposite end, and I had noticed I needed to get gas. The gauge was telling me I needed gas. So I stopped, got the gas, kept going down the road, and like 5 minutes later, the vehicle just stopped. And so I pull over, and I'm like, can't figure out what's going on. Long story short, there were two gas tanks in the truck. I wasn't aware of that. And my lack of knowledge of that, I'm looking at the gauge. I didn't thinking I was fine. I just filled up, and when I had to pull over, I looked. The gauge was still on empty, and I didn't understand that. But that gauge was to warn me, look, you need to stop and refuel. You need to stop and do whatever, attend to whatever the car is telling you. If it's running hot, you'll get the oil light or whatever it might be. I want to encourage you as we think back to the fruit of the Spirit that we've looked at, as well as the fruit of the Spirit we're looking at today, to keep that in mind, the idea of it's a warning. It's something to be able to point out to say, you know, there's an area of your life that maybe you need to, in prayer, ask God to reveal to you why you're not seeing more love, joy, peace, patience, or any of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Typically, most of us have at least a couple of these areas that we struggle with. And it's a lifelong commitment to be surrendered and under the influence of the Spirit to be working these things. So that's our introduction as we continue in this. I just want to encourage you to be thinking today of that context of as we look at faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Remember not to try harder, but remember to let God work with you in that area of your life. When we look at the first 3 weeks, we looked at the love, joy, peace, and we talked about how those three gifts really flowed out of our experience with God and became the overflow into the life of those around us. Jim did a really good job last week of highlighting patience, kindness, and goodness as being something that not only is an inner issue, an inner life issue, but it's something that is directly connected to how we relate to people, especially the patience, I think. And there's a lot of overlap with that to the three that we're looking at today of faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's an aspect of each of these that we have to be looking at our inner heart life, our inner life. But we understand that the relationship between our inner life and our relationship with others is how these things are either seen or not seen in us. And so the first of our fruit today is the issue of faithfulness. And the word that's used here for faithfulness, it's the same root word that's used for faith and what we believe. And so sometimes the word is used in describing what we believe, or even referring to the faith, like the doctrine of all that it means to be a Christ follower. But there's also an aspect of the word that is more of an adjective, a descriptive word that is faithful. It's an aspect of our character that we, when we look at God and we see his faithfulness toward us, when we say God is faithful, we're describing his character. We're describing the fact that God is someone you can depend on. That God is someone who not only speaks his word, but he'll stand by his word. That God is worthy of our confidence and that people can count on him. You know, as we think about the issue of faithfulness, I think it's important that we take the time to reflect upon God's faithfulness, because God demonstrates perfect faithfulness. And in our relationships, there will be times where those of you that maybe people would say, yeah, he's very faithful, trustworthy, dependable. There are still moments where we may slip. And others may really struggle with this area. Maybe you've not experienced a lot of faithfulness in the people in your own life, and you struggle with this issue of faithfulness. I think it's important that we take the time to look at God and his faithfulness and remember that God's word consistently describes God as faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. I've talked a lot over the years of my favorite Hebrew word, the idea of God's chesed, which is his steadfast love. That's what King James always translated it as. There's an aspect of God's steadfast love that is an issue of faithfulness. It's God's faithfulness to his covenant with his people. That no matter how much his people might fall short, God will be faithful. When we think about this aspect of faith, faithfulness, and being trustworthy, dependable, worthy of confidence, how do you think you're doing? Think for a moment about your relationships at work, at home, with your friends, whatever sphere of influence where you have relationship with people. In each of those categories of your life, do people see you as trustworthy? Do people see you as dependable, worthy of their confidence? I mean, do you follow through with commitments? Does your word mean something? Do people know that you'll be there for them? That idea of faithfulness is something that is so critical in today's world, because it's lacking often. And if we're missing that idea of faithfulness in our life, I encourage you again to reflect upon God's faithfulness. Remember God's promise, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. God has consistently demonstrated his steadfast love, his covenant faithfulness to his people. When we fall short, God is always faithful, and he is there for us. But we also need to understand that as in each of these fruit of the Spirit, if it's lacking, if you look at your life and say, you know, I've not been very faithful, I encourage you to take the time today to surrender that relationship or that area of relationship, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's with your friends, your neighbors, whatever, wherever you see a lack of faithfulness, surrender those relationships to God and ask him to fill you and empower you so that you might grow in faithfulness in each of those relationships. The next fruit that we're looking at today is the issue of gentleness. The phrase that I really find really helpful with the idea of gentleness is because I think sometimes we hear gentleness, we think weakness. And that's not what gentleness is. Gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is a controlled strength. It's acting in a gentle and even-tempered manner. It's not that there's not strength or power there, but that there's a controlled strength and that the way an individual comes across is gentle, even-tempered. It's contrasted with the idea of being harsh, or what was in that works of the flesh of fits of rage or fits of anger. The idea of being gentle is describing how our inner life, our spirit, has a gentleness that overflows in how we relate to people. Jesus had a gentle spirit. Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." 2 Corinthians 10:1, Paul says, "I myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away." That idea of the meekness and gentleness of Christ, was Paul is using that as a call to the people in Corinth to embrace an idea of humility. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount used a different word, but in the verse I just read, you see a connection between being meek and gentle. And there's actually the same root that is used in Galatians, the passage we're looking at today, is a similar root of the word that's used in the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes, that blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This idea of gentleness, of being controlled strength, I always, in my mind growing up, I remember as a kid watching the old movie Gentle Ben. Remember the bear, Big Bear? Wasn't that this bear couldn't hurt someone? It had a gentleness to its character that it wasn't, even though the strength, it had the power to hurt, but the strength was controlled. That idea of gentleness is something that is often lacking in our lives. And I know Jim shared last week that in preparation for his message, he knew he was going to get hammered, because some of the areas on the list that he was addressing, he knew that those are things that he has to work on. And I know in my own life that the issue of being patient as well as faithful and gentle and self-control, these are things that I have to regularly work on. And this issue of gentleness especially, I find in my life that I have to be a cautious of three things. And maybe some of you can relate to this. We have to be aware of selfishness. We have to be aware of our woundedness. And we have to be aware of how stress is impacting us. In my life, I found the issue of selfishness, and I think this is at the root, and what Jim really accurately highlighted that last week in talking about being patient. When that person cuts us off, we're impatient and we're irritated because someone is stepping on our rights. I'm amazed. I mean, we hear a lot about people declaring their rights right now, but there's not a lot of a spirit of humility often in some of the conversations that I see. The issue of our selfishness, we need to be looking at our life and say, when we're lacking patience or here when we're lacking gentleness, are we focused on our own self? Are we focused on what we want? Are we focused on what we deserve or what we believe is fair to us? In those moments where we act out and we're not gentle towards the person around us, again, whether that's at work, with a friend, or with a family member, sometimes that lack of gentleness might be happening right with the very people that you love the most. That issue of gentleness is something that we need to look and say is an issue of selfishness. And if we see selfishness in our life, we need to be willing to surrender those things. And to remember the call that we've looked at again and again of in Philippians 2 of having the mind of Christ that considers others' needs ahead of our own. We need to be selfless. Sometimes the issue, the lack of gentleness might be based on our woundedness. Do you ever have a wound, maybe a hurt, like you hurt your arm or something and you bump it? What do? Like you tend to overreact. Or if you touch a friend's arm and they've hurt their arm or something, there's often an overreaction because of the pain that they're feeling. I think this often happens in relationships because everyone is broken and has some level of pain in their life. That often in those relationships, if someone says or does something that touches on an issue of woundedness, of pain, maybe you struggle with criticism, or maybe you struggle with just the value of who you are and your self-esteem or whatever it might be, they say or they do something and you react not with something that would seem reasonable reaction to what is said. You react on a set of on a scale of 1 to 10. They say something that offends you that's more like a 2 or 3, and you react with an 8 or 9. Most often, I think that is connected to an issue of woundedness. Wounds in our life, things that we need to bring to God and let Him begin to heal us. Part of being filled with the Spirit is taking our brokenness to Him and letting God's Spirit work in us and through us. And I have learned over my own life and even in this week, the reminder that you can do that work, but sometimes you have to pick up that work again because it's an ongoing journey. The last piece that I found on this issue of gentleness, and again, you can relate all three of these, I think, to patience and the other gifts as well, but not only the selfishness or our woundedness, but stress. I've heard people say that stress is the enemy of your soul. And I would say it's definitely something that can threaten us. If we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by stress, it has an impact in our life that can impact how we interact with others. I honestly am convinced that much of the ugliness we're seeing in the world today is related to the fact that everyone is stressed out of their minds. Whether it's through quarantines, masks, politics, whatever it might be, people are at their wits' end. In my own life, I found that if I allow myself to be overextended for a long season of my life, that I can become irritable and that can impact me in this area. We need to be looking and ask ourselves, if you feel like stress is impacting you and that's impacting the way that you interact with others, we need to ask, is there something you need to let go of? Is there something you need to do to allow more margin in your life and time to rest, time for Sabbath, and time to realize you're not Superman, you're not Superwoman, and you can't do everything? Preaching to myself here. We need to be aware of these things, and this all connects with this illustration again with the gauges in our life. That if we see things in our life that need to change, that aren't really living out and reflecting the fruit of the Spirit, we need to be willing to let God put His finger on the things in our life and say, you know, you're being really selfish here. Or, you know, there's a part of your life where you need to let me heal. Or maybe you need to go and talk to someone about this pain in your life that's impacting how you're relating to others. Or maybe you're just overextended and you're allowing stress to impact those around you. In all of it, we need to remember the gauge, if you ignore the gauge, something bad is going to happen. It's a warning. We need to look at our life and be willing to take action when we see one of these things in our life that are challenging us. The last of the fruit of the Spirit is the issue of self-control. And, you know, I hesitated in sharing this illustration because you guys are going to think I should never step foot on a mountain bike again, but some of you know that my first experience on a mountain bike ended up in the emergency room. I bought my first bike a week later. I don't know what that says, but you know, I remember going down the hill where I had the accident, and the guy in behind me, who I now, he now refers to me as Savage because of how quickly I got back up on the bike, wanted to keep going until I saw how much I was bleeding. But you know, I remember his comment. He said he knew that the bike was out of control before I wrecked. He could see it. that I did not have control of the bike. And you know, as someone now, I have feel like I have a little bit more experience in the things I found challenging early on. I feel a little more confident. But then I watch experienced riders and see them tackle things that, like, it's just perfect control. Like, it's almost a connection between the bike and the rider. This issue of being in control is something that can not only lead to a bike crash. When we apply this issue to our life, we need to understand that there is an impact in our lives, that if we are out of control with regard to our desires and our actions, if our desires are totally out of control and guiding us rather than living a life that is under the influence and control of the Spirit, it's setting us up for a fall. It's setting us up for a crash in our own life. What's interesting is this word that is being included here in Galatians. Paul is using a word in a discussion that would have been very common among the Greeks of the day. Much of Greek philosophy dealt with the issue of desires and passions and what to do with them. You had groups that were the hedonists who said, just give in to the desires, whatever you want. You had groups called that were asceticism, that would say you need to find a way to abstain from all desire. And then you had a group called the Stoics. And again, this is not a full philosophy class here. There might be other groups, but these are three that I remember. You had the Stoics who the issue wasn't to totally abstain from desires or the issue of giving into the desires, but you wouldn't be controlled by those desires. And that is something that as I look back and think about this issue of self-control, we understand that as a Christian, our desires are to be directed towards God. I think many Christians experience frustration because they try to squash their desire, they try to kill their desire, rather than directing the desires that God has given them towards God and His plan and His purpose. That's why, I reference John Piper, different writer, and that call that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied with Him. That call is about putting our desires and focusing our desires on God and letting Him meet those needs and those desires in our life. If you read much of John Piper, he refers to himself as a Christian hedonist, that he's giving in to his desires, but he's directing to those desires towards God. If we're going to allow our desires to come under the control of God and so that we're not out of control, we need to be willing to surrender areas of our life where we feel like we're being controlled by our passions and desires. We need to be willing to surrender those things to God and allow His Spirit to lead us and to influence us. If you look at your life and you see that you lack self-control, whether that might be with an addiction or whether that might just be to say, you know, I'm really spent a lot of time just filling my wants or my own needs or my own desires, and you feel like parts of your life are out of control, I encourage you to look at that as the warning sign, the gauge, and invite God to speak to you in specific ways in that area of your life and invite His Spirit, as you surrender that area of your life to Him, invite His Spirit to take control and to influence, and so that you can direct your desires towards Him. As we wrap up this series and wrap up today, I just want to encourage you to be thinking in all of this. Remember that the verse 24 and 25 remind us, it connects us to verses 16 through 18. The idea of being walking by the Spirit, of being led by the Spirit, is picked up in verse 24 again. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Every one of those, again, is a present tense thing, verb. To walk, be led, to live, keep in step. We need to be cautious in all of these areas in our life. Understand that it's not going to be one prayer. It's not going to be one moment, one experience with God. It's going to be daily going to God and reviewing your life and examining your heart and your life and asking yourself, is God under? Am I under the control of God's Spirit, and is He producing His fruit in me? Some practical steps to leave you with this series is, we need to remember, if we really want to be under the influence of the Spirit so that the Spirit can produce His fruit in us, we desperately need to be taking time daily in God's presence in silence. Emphasis in silence. Coming before God and cultivating an awareness of his presence and just sitting in his presence to let him speak. Not only at the beginning of your day, but pause. Take those retreats throughout the day. Take 5 minutes, 10 minutes. If you got a 10-minute car ride, turn off the radio and just let God speak. We need to be cultivating his presence in our life in silence so that he can do his work in us. And we also need to be developing a self-awareness. And there's two things here that go hand in hand. And there was a book that I read a few years ago that gave the analogy of, it was mainly focused towards leadership, but I think the principle is true of life. He gave the analogy of being on the balcony and on the dance floor. The dance he compared to my interaction with people. Like, this is the actual interaction where I'm right there, I'm with that person. But sometimes we have to get to a balcony perspective where we can actually reflect and we can pause and we can see what's happening when we're on the dance floor. Found that concept, I think the author's name is Heifetz, Leadership on the Line, he talked about this, but that principle is so true on this issue as well. We need to be making time in our life where we're looking back over the day. Maybe at the end of the day, ending with a prayer of examine, a prayer of where we're just looking back and say, what were my interactions with people like today? Too often we let days and weeks and months go and we're not taking that time to reflect on our life and we miss the opportunity to grow in our awareness to know what's being produced and not being produced in us. That's the balcony perspective. We need to be planning those times where we're letting God point those things out and reflecting. I believe that the more you do that, the more you'll increase in your experience in that dance floor perspective of in the moment when someone says something that ticks you off and you want to respond in a non-gentle way. Because of the awareness you're developing from the balcony and in that moment on the dance floor, you can be aware, okay, I need to count to 10. I need to pray, and I need to let God control my reaction and my response. This is true in all the fruit that we looked at today. It's true, I believe, in all of these fruit that we've looked at in these last 3 weeks. Let's take the time to reflect in our life, be aware of the things in our life where we need to grow. Take the time to let God speak to us and develop a heart's desire to daily be addressing these things. Again, it's daily walking in the Spirit, daily being led by the Spirit, daily keeping in step with the Spirit. We need to be daily connecting with God so his Spirit can point these things out in our life so that we can surrender them to him so that he might fill us. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, for the privilege of being able to gather here today and to look at your word. And Lord, when we look at these lists, when we're honest, we know that every one of us have areas on the works of the flesh where we would have a red flag, as well as the fruit of the Spirit where we would have a red flag. And I just pray that we would make it within our own hearts and our own desire in our lives, Lord, the resolve to grow in our awareness of what's going on in our heart and our life, that we'd be learning to watch these gauges so that when we see things that need to change, Lord, that we can just pause, draw into your presence, and invite your Holy Spirit to speak. May we be faithful, Lord, to do this work daily, because life will constantly challenge, life will constantly draw us to a place of selfishness, of self-care, and instead of being at a place of surrender to you. Lord, we just pray that through the coming days and weeks, Lord, through believers across this community and across this nation, throughout the world, we pray that we would be people who reflect the character of Christ because we allow your Spirit to work in us and through us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.